Hi, I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and this is Ask the Pastor. And we have an unusual question today, a challenging one, but one worth definitely thinking about. It's a question that comes about 2 Kings 13, 20 and 21. The question is, what is it about Elisha's bones that they brought a dead man back to life in 2 Kings 13, 20 to 21? And the questioner also says, I always found it so odd that these two verses talk of such a fantastic event, and then the next verse moves on to the king of Aram, etc., and nothing is ever mentioned again about the bones or the man. Again, I recently just read that Catholics use these verses to support the use of relics. So that's the question. What about these bones in 2 Kings 13? Why would the bones of Elisha cause a man to be raised from the dead? And is this a good verse that can be used to justify the use of relics? Well, let's go to the passage first and start there. 2 Kings 13, verses 20 and 21. So Elisha died, and they buried him. Now bands of Moabites used to invade the land in the spring of the year. And as a man was being buried, behold, a marauding band was seen, and the man was thrown into the grave of Elisha. And as soon as the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. So those are the two verses. So what is this for? Why is this here? Well, whenever you're dealing with a difficult passage, there's kind of two questions that we should ask. One is, what is the larger context? Is this just sort of thrown in here without really having much context or much to do with the surrounding passage? Usually not. Okay, so in this case, the surrounding context is that when Elisha was on his deathbed, before he was about to die, Joash, the king of Israel, went down to him, and he was concerned because Syrians were coming into the land to attack them. And so Elisha put him to the test and basically said, you know, take a bow and arrow, draw the bow, shoot out the window, right? You shall fight the Syrians in Aphek until you have made an end of them. And then he says, take the arrows, strike the ground with them. And he struck three times, and he stopped. And then Elisha was frustrated and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have struck down Syria till you've made an end of it. But now you will only strike down Syria three times. And then Elisha dies. But Elisha dies before his prophecy regarding Syria is fulfilled. And the passage continues on to say, now Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz, but the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them, and he turned toward them because of the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he would not destroy them, nor has he cast them from his presence until now. When Hazael, king of Syria, died, Ben-Hadad, his son, became king in his place. Then Jehoahash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again from Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities that he had taken from Jehoahaz his father in war. Three times Joash defeated him and recovered the cities of Israel. So here's what's going on here in the immediate context in 2 Kings 13. God had made a promise to Israel that they were going to be able to defeat the Syrians three times. But then the prophet who made that promise died. Now, if you're the king of Israel, you could easily think, well, the prophet made the promise to me, but the prophet died. So maybe his word died with him. He's not with us anymore. He used to do all sorts of great miracles. But now that he's gone, maybe the presence of God is gone. So this is a way, I believe, for God to confirm that even though Elisha has died, he was still the anointed prophet of God, and his word still has power. And so even as a demonstration of that, this man who had died was thrown into the tomb because marauding raiders were coming and they didn't want his body to be stolen. So they threw him into the tomb and he's raised to life. It's a way of saying, even though Elisha is dead and no longer with you, God is still with you. And the words that were spoken through Elisha the prophet are still powerful, still effective. They're still going to come true. And it was many years later until those words actually came true. But I think that's the primary contextual purpose of this sign, is for the king of Israel to strengthen his confidence in the words of Elisha. Beyond that, whenever we see a resurrection, it always points us to Christ. And that's the second question we should be asking. So the first question, when we come to a difficult passage, is what's the broader context? And the second question is, how does it point us to Christ? And how it points us to Christ is that Christ is the fulfillment of this picture, this miracle. Christ is the one who will raise everyone from the dead. Christ is the one whose death and resurrection secures the resurrection of everyone. So this, as with every resurrection story in the Bible, points us to the resurrection of Christ, and also how Christ's death and resurrection secures our own resurrection from the dead. So I think those are the two meanings. Now, could you use this passage to justify relics, gathering the bones of saints and keeping